God's goal is for you to become a visible, verbal follower of Jesus Christ, not merely a fan in the stands every Sunday.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's easy to find people who come to church for the show, but true Christianity requires something much deeper.
We're talking about discipleship. That's our goal, and that is what God has called the church to do, create disciples, not just members.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. You say you believe in God? Great. Now what? Well, even though there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, there's plenty we can do to make the most of it. And that's Dr. Evans' subject today, as he brings us a message called The Authority of Discipleship. Let's join him.
In churches all over America, Jesus' fans gather. They gather, and his fan base is pretty large. Because you'll find small, medium, and large churches all gathered around with this commonality on some level, a belief in Jesus Christ. They will applaud, they will sing, they will celebrate him because Jesus has a mighty large fan base. You will discover Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for followers. Jesus does not have a problem getting a crowd. He's got people who will raise his name regularly, but who won't follow him. We have learned that discipleship is that developmental process of the local church designed to bring believers from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity so that they are able then to repeat the process with someone else. It's that developmental process of the local church that seeks to bring Christians from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity so that they can replicate the process through someone else. God's goal is your discipleship, not merely your salvation. God's goal is for you to become a visible, verbal follower of Jesus Christ, not merely a fan in the stands every Sunday. The question today in this next message on discipleship is, are you a fan or are you a follower? Because there's a world of difference between the two. Jesus was drawing a big crowd. He performed a miracle. He fed 5,000. And they were astonished at his ability to draw a crowd. And yet, Jesus would always say something to mess it up. He's the only preacher who shrunk the congregation. Because all of these masses of people would follow him, and then he would say something and folk would start leaving. Because once he gathered the fans, he started talking about being a follower. You see, if you can put together a good enough program and make the right kind of promises of blessings, you can get a crowd. So what Jesus would often do is put out a test to see if you were a follower or merely a fan. Such is the case in our passage today where Jesus speaks to three different people about discipleship, about being a follower, not a fan. So today I want to ask you now, are you a fan or are you a follower? Because there are some fans who think they're followers. Let's see which case you are in. Jesus Christ is moving along and a gentleman, the first gentleman comes upon him in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now that sounds right. That sounds right to me. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I will follow you wherever you go. This man has got to be spiritual. He says, wherever you go, I am your bud. You can bank on me. You can count on wherever you go, I'm there. I'm up with it. I'm your man. You can bank on me. Jesus has a way of going beneath your words to discover your motive. Jesus has the impeccable ability to say what you didn't say. Jesus responds to this man, and he doesn't say, "That's what I'm talking about." He doesn't say, "You the man." He says, "Foxes have holes," verse 58. "Birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, we're told that the person who asked this question was a scribe. And he asked the question starting off with the word teacher. Luke doesn't tell us that. Matthew 8, 19 tells us that. So it gives us a little bit more information. So here's one who was used to writing spiritual things. And he called Jesus a teacher. He had witnessed all of these great things that Jesus was doing, the chapters leading up to this. And he says, "I need to hang out with this guy. Because this guy is turning sardines and shrimp into Moby Dick sandwiches. And this guy is raising people from the dead. This guy, Jesus, is he's the kind of guy you want to hang with. So wherever you go, I'm going to go." But then Jesus responds to him saying, "Okay, let's make this, I want you to understand that foxes know where they're going to sleep tonight. Birds know where they're going to nest this evening. But the Son of Man has not secured his hotel reservations this evening. He has no place to lay his head." Why is Jesus saying this to him? Jesus wants to know, are you a fan because of what you can get from me, or are you a follower? And the way he tests it is, are you going to follow me when things are rough? Are you going to follow me when you don't have the answers up front? Are you going to follow me when you don't know where I'm going to sleep? And if you're following me, that means you don't know where you're going to sleep. Are you going to follow me only when the good times are rolling, when the money is flowing, when things are good, when life is working out for you? Or are you going to follow me when the foxes and the birds have more security than I do? See, this guy was talking the good Christian game. I will follow you wherever you go. What he was really saying was, I'm following you for the blessings. Now, how many people do you know who follow Jesus for the blessings? They come to church to be blessed. They want to be blessed. And don't get me wrong, a big part of the Christian life is enjoying the blessings. But what Jesus wants to know is, are you going to still follow me when you can't see any blessings? Are you going to still follow me when things are not working out? Are you going to follow me when you lose your job? Or are you just going to follow me when I find you a job? Are you going to follow me when the money is funny? Or are you just going to follow me when the bank account is deep? Are you going to follow me when I give you a mate? Or are you still going to follow me when you're remaining single? Are you going to follow me when you get the promotion? And are you going to follow me when somebody else gets the promotion? Are you going to follow me when I answer your prayers? And are you going to follow me when heaven is silent and you haven't heard a word from me? I want to know, are you a follower or are you a fan? Jesus says, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus can get a crowd as long as Jesus is giving something to the crowd. But when Jesus is doing what seems to be nothing, no place to lay your head, he wants to know, are you still hanging with him? Or are you using him? You see, a lot of folk use Jesus. Jesus becomes very critical when they're in trouble, when life doesn't work, when things are weighing them down. But once they get lifted out, Jesus becomes simply an addendum. He wants you to know whether you're going to follow me in the bad times when there is not the things that you expect from him, but because of your relationship to him, you're going to follow him. That tells you whether you're a fan or a follower, whether you're just in it for the noise or whether you're in it for the relationship. We're talking about discipleship. That's our goal, and that is what God has called the church to do. Create disciples, not just members. If our church is only known for membership, it has failed. Because the goal of God's church is to create and craft disciples, visible, verbal, maturing followers of Jesus Christ. Anybody who tells you come to Jesus and it's all good has lied to you. Because it's not all good all the time. There is good. There is great good, but it's not all good. And he wanted to tell this man, and he wants me to tell you, are you following him for the stuff? Or are you following him because he deserves to be followed as the Son of God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Well, when Dr. Evans comes back in just a moment, he'll talk to us about why it sometimes takes a lot longer than it should to get us from point A to point B in our spiritual life. Right now, though, he's here with a thought about the vital part you play in helping our ministry get from point A to point B. Dr. Evans?
The ministry of the alternative is dependent upon our friends in order to continue doing what we do. If God is using this ministry in your life, your family, in your church, and in the lives of your loved ones, then would you help it to continue? We can only go as far as God supplies the need, and he supplies the need through those whom he blesses. If he's blessed you through this ministry, then meet the need so that the blessing won't have to stop. We want to keep coming your way and to the lives of others as well. So we appeal to your kindness, your love for God, and your appreciation of this ministry. Thank you for supporting us. We can't do what we do without you.
Staying on the radio is our largest expense here at the Urban Alternative, and we need faithful friends to help us continue our work. And if you get in touch with us and make your contribution right away, we'd like to send you Volume 1 of our current brand new series on discipleship, Followers, Not Fans, as our thank you gift. We're counting on your investment in us so we can continue investing in you. But this offer is only available for a limited time. So visit us at TonyEvans.org right away for details on Followers, Not Fans. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is open 24/7. One more time, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, here's Dr. Evans once again with more of today's lesson.
Then he said to another, the second person, verse 59, follow me. Now, the first person came to him, volunteered, I will follow you. Jesus said, you're talking a lot of smack. Second guy, Jesus is talking, says, follow me, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a reasonable request to me. Jesus responds to him and says, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds cold to me. Oh, no, that sounds a little cold. Jesus, the guy is only asking to bury his daddy. I mean, and Jesus is going to say, let the dead bury the dead. You go and be about kingdom business. I know you want to be first. I know you want me to follow you. But Jesus, at least let me bury my daddy. Can't I funeralize my father? After all, it's in your law. It says honor your father and your mother. I just want to go bury my daddy. Jesus says, no. Let the dead bury the dead. You come on and let's get with this kingdom. But what you have to understand is the father hasn't died yet. See, it sounds mean until you understand what he's saying. When is the last time you've seen dead people burying dead people? I don't think you've ever seen that. When he says, let the dead bury the dead, he's meaning, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. That's what he means. Dead people can't bury dead people. Let the spiritually dead, people who are outside of God, take care of the physically dead, because when you die physically, you can't do anything for the dead person. In other words, this guy wanted to delay becoming a disciple until his stuff was right. When my stuff gets right, when I got some money in my pocket, then I'll follow you. Until then, I'll go to church, but I'm not going to be a disciple. See, there are a lot of folk who won't become a disciple because they're waiting for something in this world to get right before they make the priority of being a follower. So they limit themselves to being a fan. Others are saying, Lord, it's like this. When I get my money, my 401 is right. When I get the salary that I need, I'm climbing this corporate ladder. These folk got me working 16 hours a day. I don't have time to be a disciple. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to put a little money in the basket. But this following you, Jesus, I can't do it right now because this world has got me so tied up that I can't be fully committed to you now. Jesus, after I've gotten the promotion, I'll have time for you. After my name is in lights, I'll have time for you. After I have achieved what I'm trying to achieve, I'm going to get around to you. Jesus says, you let the dead bury the dead. In other words, you don't delay my calling in the kingdom. And the kingdom, remember, is the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. He wants you to be his follower right where you are. Not wait till you get to somewhere else. Not wait till after your pockets are full, after your bank account is right, after your career is produced, after your education is over, after you get married. He wants you to follow him fully now, right where you are. No delays. What Jesus is saying is, I want you to pursue my kingdom, not settle for the world. One of the reasons we are not seeing the rule of God in our lives, one of the reasons we're not seeing Jesus as king in our circumstances, we waiting to get some stuff straight before we become committed followers of Jesus Christ. The third guy, another said, I will follow you. I will follow you. But first, somebody say first. First. Permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Another reasonable sounding request. Let me go home and say goodbye to my mama, my daddy, my brothers and my sisters and my cousins. Let me go by to some of my kinfolk. Let me say goodbye to my peeps. Let me say goodbye to my family. Let me bid them farewell. Of course, Jesus is digging beneath the words. And he says, no one, verse 62, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Uh-oh. This man may be called, the best word to call him is double-minded. Notice Jesus' answer. No one who puts his hand to the plow. So the man had made a decision because he had put his hand to the plow. He says, I'm going to plow. I'm going in this direction. But he turns and he looks back. He says, you don't just want to go say bye. The reason you brought up your family is because you're rethinking your decision. See, he made the decision because he put his hand to the plow. He says, I'm going to follow you. He says, but he put his hand to the plow, and after he did it, he said, what did I just do? And began looking back and said, Jesus, I'll be right back. Let me go home, talk to my family. Because he knew, and Jesus knew, that if he left the plow, left his decision, and went back home, his family was going to talk him out of it. His family going to say, what you doing? Have you lost your mind? You going out there with that Jewish rabbi? Are you crazy? We need you here back home. Why are you going to leave your family? Don't you know how many years we've spent raising you and supporting you and sending you through school and walking with you, and you're going to go out and follow him? The guy had put his hand to the plow. The problem is he's turning back. He's got double two mind thinking. He's thinking in two directions at the very same time. Jesus is saying, decide which way you're going. You can't have it both ways. You can't have me and the world. You can't have me and the system that wants to leave me out. You can't have it both ways. Make your decision. One of the reasons that we're not experiencing more of the kingdom is we're still on the fence. And Jesus says, get off the fence if you're going to follow me. Don't be for me on Sunday and for the world on Monday. Get off the fence. Jesus's problem is not a fan base. Jesus's problem is he can't find enough followers. People who are not perfect people, but people who are clearly, visibly, and verbally followers of Jesus Christ. He says, no. He says, you're not fit. You're of no use. You're valueless to the kingdom of God. Because you're looking back. This guy wanted to go back home. And back in biblical days, a goodbye party could last a week. You know, you could be saying goodbye for days. Just enough time. And see, that's another thing. You don't spend most of your time hanging out with people who are going to talk you out of the kingdom of God. See, that's not the folk you hang with. You need to hang with people who are going to push you to hold on to the plow, not help release your grip from the plow. You want people who are going to promote you, stimulate you. That's what discipleship is all about, having people in your life who are going to move you toward God. If they're not giving you God's viewpoint, that's not who you should be spending most of your time paying attention to.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to talk about the danger of paying too much attention to the wrong thing. But first, today's lesson was one of the first installments in Tony's brand new series called Followers, Not Fans. It's a two-volume look at discipleship that'll teach you everything you need to know about living a dedicated, devoted Christian life, including the process, the obstacles, the costs, and the rewards. You'll get the full-length version of all 12 messages, containing a lot of material we won't have time to present on the air. So be sure to contact us for details about getting a copy on CD or DVD. And don't forget, right now we're making Volume 1 of Followers Not Fans available on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a contribution of any size. But be sure to contact us right away. This offer is only available for a limited time. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all the details and make your donation online. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will take a look at how hard discipleship can get when our will says one thing and God's will says another. I hope you'll be with us for that. Right now, though, here's Dr. Evans with a final comment for today.
It should have taken Israel 35 days to go from Egypt to the promised land, Canaan. That's a 35-day walk. It took them 40 years. The reason it took them 40 years is they kept looking back. Every other day, well, back in Egypt, we had meat. And back in Egypt, we had leeks and onions. And back in Egypt, they finally get to the promised land. Oh, you done brought us out here to kill us, because back in Egypt, they kept looking back. And so they spent 40 years going in circles when the promise of God, the miracles of God, the blessings of God was right across the Jordan River, right in front of them, and they never realized it. Some of us are wondering, why am I going in circles? Why is life just all messed up all the time? Why can't things ever get stable? Well, God says, if I could get you looking in one direction, I could take you somewhere, but you keep looking back. You keep going back on me. And so you want to know why you're turning in circles, going around and round and not achieving. You're going from one mess to another mess, one jacked up situation to another jacked up situation, one frustration to another frustration, one failure to another failure, because you're driving looking back.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative. Restoring hope, transforming lives.